Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. Jaya Om Vishnu Pan Badamahang Smaraj Gacharya, Aftotagata Sisibet AC, Aftubadanta Swami Shri Prabhupan Ki Jai, Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Friends of the whole Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu and Chananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar, just the goal about to win the Gijai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopira Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Gidi Govardhan Gijai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Gijai, Navadat Dham Gijai, Gang Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Gijai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Gijai, Go, Kevinandi, all glories to the Sam of the Bodhis, all glories to the Sam of the Bodhis, all glories to the Sam of the Bodhis, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhrishtaya Buddhaye Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatradesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadatha Shivasadi Gaurva Kravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 15 Verse 49.
He became washed of all contamination of a Sudra born life. At the end he was again received by the denizens of Pitraloka and post in his original position. The favor of Krishna. So therefore it was a great blessing. So his low birth was actually not a problem in one sense, but because through that he got the association and blessings of Krishna himself. So nevertheless, after the disappearance of Krishna and the Pandavas, then what would happen to him? Well, by the Lord's mercy, of course, he could just join the pastimes of the Lord again somewhere. But in this case, the Lord made him follow the procedure and get back into his other body again after the curse was over and become Yamaraj again and continue in his post as Yamaraj instead of giving up that post. So similarly, we find even the devatas like Brahma, even though they had a nice realization of Krishna, Bhagavan describes, and then they went back to their post. So Brahma goes from Vrindavan after he sees Krishna there in his pastime, then he goes back again to Brahmaloka and continues ruling for the rest of his life. So similarly, Yamaraj, though he got the association of Krishna, then he had to return to his post again and continue his post of following out the Lord's order and punishing all the sinful people. So he takes that as his duty. In this way we have a different destination for the Pandavas and Yamaraj, because their original positions were quite different. So as a devotee, it's mentioned here, Vidura gave nice advice to Dhritarashtra, and he was always trying to act for his benefit by telling him to follow the path of Dharma. Unfortunately, Dhritarashtra could not do that because of his attachment to his sons. So whatever good advice he got, he couldn't accept. Even though he knew it was correct, he couldn't accept it because of his attachment to his sons. So, therefore, Dhritarashtra is considered to be a fool. So physically he was blind, and that was the problem, because he was blind he could not be the king, so he wanted his son to be the king. But not only was he physically blind, but he was spiritually blind, because he could not take good advice from a great devotee like Vidura. So that was a great misfortune for him. As a result of that, he ended up in a lot of problems, including losing all of his sons. He was so attached to his sons that he would not listen to Vidura's advice. Ultimately, he lost all of his sons. So he got a very bad result. So it's described that Vidura came back to the palace after the war was over, and out of their kindness, the Pandavas were giving shelter to him, because all of his sons were gone. He had no one left. So the Pandavas were taking care of him, in spite of the fact that he was the cause of the whole Kurukshetra war, etc. So, nevertheless, the Pandavas did their duty and supported him after that. But it was not a very, it wasn't a proper existence for Dhritarashtra, because he was, you know, like living like a dog in the house of the Pandavas, taking their food, so to speak, after he did all these terrible acts. Still, they were accepting him, and he accepted it just to maintain himself. So even then, Vidura felt compassion for him, and he came to him and he gave him good advice. This is not very good that you're staying in the house of the Pandavas like this. Actually, you've lost everything, and now you're very old also, so you should actually renounce your attachment to everything and go off to the forest as a vanaprastha with your wife. But still, Dhritarashtra wouldn't listen. So Vidura was quite insistent on this, and in the Mahabharata there's a story he tells Dhritarashtra to convince him, you have to get out of this house. So he tells the story of a brahmana, and the brahmana woke up one day, and he opened his eyes, and suddenly he didn't know where he was. He was in a completely strange place. And he was puzzled. He opened his eyes, he looked around, and he was in the middle of the desert someplace, and he didn't know what's this desert, how he got there, anything. Very, very puzzling. So this brahmana began to search around, and he thought, well, got to have to find some, you know, shelter, got to find some food, got to find some water, and I don't know where I am. So he's wandering around in this desert-like place, very uncomfortable, because there was nothing there. He wandered and wandered around like this, and then eventually he saw there was something in the horizon there, some little thingy was there, you know, very distant something. So he got excited, yes, there's something there. And he got a little closer. Yes, there is something there actually, it's not a mirage. He got closer, thought, ah, it's a forest, and he got very excited, because if there's a forest, there must be water, there must be food, etc. So he came to that forest after, you know, walking over the desert, and he got to the forest. But then there was a big disappointment, because there was a huge wall blocking off the forest, and he couldn't get into that forest. So he thought, well, maybe it's the gate someplace. So he kept walking and walking and walking, but the wall continued and continued and continued. It was like it was an endless wall. So he didn't know what to do. So he said, maybe I can climb the wall and get in that way. And it was tempting, because he was getting hungry and thirsty and whatever. So he climbed up the wall eventually. And he got to the top of the wall, and then he thought, well, I better get in here. But the nature of the wall was, he could climb up the wall, but if he climbed in, he could not climb out. The wall was very steep on the other side. But somehow he could get down there, but he couldn't climb out again. So he had to make a choice. Should I stay in the desert and die of starvation and thirst, or should I jump into the forest and take my chances there? So I said, okay, I'll go into the forest. I went into the forest. Yeah. And then he was expecting, ah, now I can survive. But then, as he was trying to find something going into the jungle forest, you know, all tangled up, etc., then he found out it was not so nice after all, because there were mosquitoes biting him, and there were poisonous snakes, and scorpions, and there were animals. So there were bears who were very hungry, and they began chasing him. And there were tigers also, and they were also very hungry, and they began to chase him. And there were foxes. They were also very hungry. So all sorts of animals were looking at him, and they began chasing this Brahmana through the forest. And he had to run. Of course, it wasn't very difficult to run in the forest, because it was trees and vines and, you know, thorns and everything. It was a run through the forest, and the animals were running after him, and he wasn't so fast also. So they would bite him. And immediately he got bitten, then he felt pain, so he had to run faster again. So in this way, he was going through the forest, and all these animals were chasing after him and biting him once in a while, and he had to run a little faster like this. And then his foot got tangled in some vine on the forest floor. Oops, suddenly he fell over. So then he thought, now the animals are going to eat me up. And he waited. Nothing happened. So he was surprised, and he closed his eyes, because the animals are going to eat me up. But he opened his eyes, and surprisingly, all the animals were there waiting, looking at him. So why are they doing that? And then he realized that they couldn't catch him, because he was hanging over a big well, a big blind well, a big hole. And his feet were on the top with a tangled vine there, and he was upside down, and his head was down and his feet were up, and he was dangling from a vine from a tree, and there was this big hole there, and the animals were all at the edge of the hole, and they're all looking at him trying to grab him, but they couldn't grab him. He was in the center of that. Oh, so he thought, well, I'm safe, very nice. But then he thought, well, how can I get out of this position? I'm trapped here hanging over this huge pit. And it was quite deep, the pit, so it wasn't safe to fall, you know, to fall into the pit or whatever. And the walls are very steep also, so he couldn't climb out of the pit. And there was no water at the bottom also. It was rocks. And there was also a big snake down there. And the snake was also hungry. And it was looking up, maybe this Brahmin is going to fall in the pit and I can eat him. So then the Brahmin thought, well, I can't get into that pit. And then the animals are still looking at the side. I can't escape on the side. So then he thought, maybe I'll climb up into the tree. But he was upside down, and he was hanging by his feet, and the vine was up there attached to the tree. But then he noticed in the tree there were rats. And rats like to nibble, nibble, nibble like this. So they're nibbling at the vine that was holding up his feet. And there were black rats and white rats. So the black rats would chew and chew and chew. Then they would get tired. And the white rats would chew and chew and chew like this. So the vine was getting a little bit thinner. So if he moved too much, the whole thing was going to fall and he would get in the pit. So he was more or less trapped there, just waiting for himself to fall into the pit. And he didn't know what to do. Moreover, every time he wiggled a little bit, there was a beehive in the tree. So then the bees got very angry when the hive began to move, and they all came out, and they began to bite him all over his body. And then he had to wiggle a little more, and then more bees would come out and sting him all over his body. So he was not in a very good position at all, because at the bottom was a snake, and the sides were the animals, at the top were the rats nibbling, and then the bees were all stinging him at the same time. So then Vidura said, see, this man, he's suffering. He can't escape from this, and he's suffering. But, he said, you look very closely. He is smiling. Why is he smiling? And then Dhritarashtra said, I don't know. How can he smile in that miserable position? So Vidura said, you look very closely. From the beehive, a little bit of honey falls once in a while, and it drops in his mouth. And then he tastes that honey, how sweet it is, and he gets very happy. And he's thinking, when is the next honey going to fall? And he's just waiting for another drop of honey to fall in his mouth. And he forgets that the animals are there at the side, and the rats are nibbling at the top, and the snake is waiting at the bottom, and the bees are stinging him. He forgets all of that. Huh? Then Dhritarashtra said, well, very nice story, what does it mean? So Madhura said, the Brahmana is the jiva, and this desert is this whole material prakriti. It's actually barren, there's nothing there, actually. Yeah? But within that prakriti, we get universes, and within those universes, we get lokas. Yeah? They look very nice. So then the jiva thinks, I will go there, and I can enjoy very nicely. Yeah? But once he gets in there, there's a big problem, because his body gets attacked by different things, by sickness and various animals or other people, etc. So these are like the various animals chasing him and biting him, etc. And unfortunately, he gets trapped in one body and he can't get out of that body, so that's like getting trapped over the well. And the body has a limit. It will only live for so long. And so many days, so many nights. So the lifespan is the vine holding up the brahmana. And the black rats and the white rats are the days and the night. So each day and night passes, the lifespan gets a little bit shorter. So that's the nibbling at the vine. And when the lifespan is finished, then of course the rats have finished their business, and the vine is finished, and poof, you fall into the pit, and the snake of death devours you. Yeah? And meanwhile, when you're sitting under that tree, or hanging under that tree, in that miserable condition, waiting for death to come, which is going to happen sooner or later, because the rats keep chewing, and they never stop chewing, and days and nights keep passing, and we get older and older, sooner or later we're going to die. Nevertheless, we try to think, I'll get happy somehow or other, and we get a little bit of sense gratification here or there in the material world, like the honey dropping in our mouth. But even to get that, we have to go through so much labor, and that's like the bee stinging you all the time. So simultaneously you're getting problems and all that, trying to get your happiness at the same time you're getting this little happiness. So that little bit of happiness makes you forget your condition in this world, that you are afflicted by different problems and sicknesses, etc., like the wild animals biting you. You're getting older, you're getting aged, and finally you have to die. So all of these are the problems of the world, but we forget that because of the honey. A little bit of material gratification we get from stimulating our senses. He said, this is the nature of the foolish jiva in the material world. And by that he meant to show that Dhritarashtra was like that. He was in a completely miserable position. First of all, he was blind. Secondly, his sons were all terrible demons, etc. They weren't worthy of ruling the kingdom at all, but he was so attached to them. Somehow he got his pleasure out of seeing them and trying to put them on the throne. But then after they were all killed, still he's holding on to life and thinking something nice is going to happen for me sooner or later. But there was nothing going to happen very easy. He's just going to die ultimately. And yet he's thinking something nice. So he's like holding on to an expectation of a little honey. That is foolish. So through this analogy, this story, Vidura impressed upon the mind of Dhritarashtra that he was in a very hopeless position in this material world. Of course, everybody is, but he was in a particularly hopeless position because he had nothing left. No one was there for him at all. So because of Vidura's advice, at this point in time, he decided to follow his advice. Otherwise, previously he had not done anything. But now because he could also see the hopeless position he was in, old age plus no shelter, nothing, no respect, nothing left, he decided he would follow the advice of Vidura and actually go to the forest and start practicing meditation, whatever. Yeah. So after all the incidences of his life, finally he was willing to accept the advice of Vidura, but only at the very end when it was much too late, so to speak. Nevertheless, it's good that whether it's sooner or later, if we do understand that the goal in life is not simply to taste the honey and ignore everything else, then we've made some little progress. Better, of course, if we do it at the beginning of life. So therefore, we have the example of Prahlad. So even at the 5 years old, he was already completely dedicated to the Supreme Lord and renounced all interest in material education, etc. So even though the teachers and Ranikasipu were trying to tell him, okay, you got to study, you got to learn things, you have to get artha. Artha and kama, you have to learn how to enjoy in this material world through material knowledge, etc. He refused to take that knowledge, and he did the opposite. He spoke to all the students and said, this is all nonsense. But the best knowledge is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Yeah. So if you do it at early age, very good. If you can't, of course, it's unfortunate. The better you do it sometime in your life than not at all. So if we can dedicate our whole life to practicing spiritual life and surrendering to the Lord and getting a little bit closer to the highest goal, very, very good. That's our good fortune. In Chaitanya Charitamrita there, Lord Chaitanya says, Kon Bhagyavana Jeev, some fortunate jiva, finally gets the seed of bhakti. After wandering in the material world from body to body to body, lifetime after lifetime in the life of Brahma. So many times we have to do this, and somehow or other, if we get the good fortune of getting the seed of bhakti, then everything's changed suddenly. Okay? So just getting the seed, the beginning is very good. Whether it's at the beginning of life, like Prahlad in the womb actually, Prahlad got his seed because he heard Narada Muni's instruction when he was in the womb of his mother. Or at the very end of life, in the case of Dhritarashtra getting instructions from Vidura. Whenever that comes, very, very auspicious for us, good fortune. Because it changes our material, our existence. We're going body to body in the material world, or we're going in a circle like this in the Buddhist wheel of karma like this. And you just continue like this, rotating. So that's wandering in the material world from body to body, from animal to devata to human being to rakshasa to ghost or whatever, plant or whatever. That's one alternative. But suddenly, if you get the seed of bhakti, then you're going in a different direction completely. You're getting out of this wheel completely. So, therefore, somehow or other, we have to get that good fortune. So, Prahlad got the good fortune in the womb. How? Because of instructions by Narada Muni, a devotee of the Lord. Dhritarashtra got the good fortune because he got the instructions from Vidura. So therefore, the good fortune is, the fortunate jiva is the one who gets association with a devotee who will give him proper knowledge and inspiration to start the process of bhakti. So somehow or other we have to get the mercy of devotees so that we can progress on this proper path and transcend the material world. So that is the whole import of scriptures. And of course it's not very apparent if we go through Karmakanda and even if we go to Gyankanda. Yes, get out, but then go where? It's not really well defined where you go after you get out. So here in the Bhagavata we have a particular place we go after we get out of the material world. So we, as we see the Pandavas, they join Krishna in his pastimes eternally. So this is the direction for all the jivas. So the Bhagavatam directly points this out, that the highest goal is not artha, dharma, and kama, nor is it moksha, but it is prema. That's the fifth goal in life, or the final goal. So that is emphasized throughout the Bhagavatam. So not only we have the highest goal, that is going to the spiritual world and serving the Lord, but the Bhagavatam's special quality is to attain the Lord in the form of Krishna, because he is the most beautiful, spectacular, amazing form of the Lord, and he has the most bliss. So that's exactly what happened to the Pandavas, who joined the Lord in the spiritual world. So that's the message we learned from this story of the disappearance of Krishna and the Pandavas.
It appears the Yamaraj has planted his nose as Pichaloka. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And what's the, in Western astronomy, what, do you know what the name of that planet is?
If we look at the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, that's also that Pitraloka is also associated with Pataloka as Yamaraj's planet. So there's kind of a synonymous type of thing, Pitraloka and that. Of course, for the Yamaraj, it's not a hellish place. It's a heavenly place. And we see when Krishna went to Yamaraj to get the Sandapani Muni's son back, it was a very beautiful place with palaces and everything. So in one sense, it's a heavenly planet for Yamaraj and his associates, but then it's for the people who do sinful activities. It's a hellish place. Pitraloka generally is regarded as a heavenly type planet. You can worship the devatas, go to the devatas, worship the pitras, go to the pitras. By going there, then you become a pitra, and a pitra is a message deliverer, so to speak. Just as the postman delivers a letter like that, or the Agni delivers your sacrifice to the devatas. So the pitras deliver the shraddha rites, the offerings of shraddha, to the person who's supposed to be suffering in hell. And so he gets a little relief from his hellish suffering. Or if he's got out of that suffering already, then it helps put him in. When he's got another body, wherever he is, they get a good result. So then suddenly they feel very happy in their next lifetime. They get an extra boost to their life, a little punya. So in other words, they're the carriers of your shraddha rite offerings, the punya effect.
So practically, how does that, if you're offering the departed forefather, whatever, does that offering practically get to
You just follow the procedure, just like fire sacrifice. You follow the procedure, mention the Vedas, you chant the mantras properly, you offer it at the proper time with the proper instruments, and it goes up to the devatas. Somehow it gets there through Agni. He'll take it through. If you do improperly, Agni won't touch it, so it won't go to the devatas. So I guess if you do the shraddha rites properly, then the pitras will take that offering, and then they'll transmit it to them. Otherwise, if you do it improperly, the pitras don't even get it.
Yamadutas actually, they carry the offering, but they're actually in disguise looking like Vishnu
Buddhas. Maybe.
Mentioned in the
Puranas. Possibly. I don't know.
but the picture is they basically
in the service of Yamaraj. Yeah, and it's like a devata body. They enjoy very nicely there. They're very comfortable or whatever. Live a long time. Like Yamaraj, his post again is like the devatas, so they go for 71 yuga cycles of that post before they switch.
Maharaj, I asked a devotee about what the correspondence between what the planet that corresponds to
Pluto.
I think Prabhupada mentions that Pluto once. Of course, Pluto is more or less a Western planet, and in Vedic astrology, we don't have a Pluto or a Neptune or a Uranus at all. But I think Pluto, because maybe called Pluto in the Bhagavatam, also in a few places, because in Greek mythology, that's the planet of. King of Death, what's his name in Greek mythology? Anyway, Plutonic Kingdom is down there. That's the realm of death. Hades or Pluto, I guess. Who's in charge of that? some person.
Yes. The name Pluto in Sanskrit. correspond to Yama.
So, okay, maybe it's related.
Possibly.
So they probably called it Pluto also because it's so far away, way, way out there someplace. Nobody wants to go there.
that's what it means?
Physically. Well, you know, it's related to death, whatever, because it's also, in Greek mythology, it's related to that. Pluto is related to the death kingdom, I think. So Plutonic kingdom means the death kingdom, you know. I think he mentions Pluto someplace in one of the purports there, yeah.
Another question is, you said how the Pandavas are eternally with Krishna in his pastime. What about Vishnu then?
Yes, also.
But he wanted to see the four arms when he died.
Well, Krishna has four arms also. Sometimes Krishna has four arms. In Dwarka, he often has four arms. He can have four arms, two arms as he wants to.
Krishna in Dwarka has four arms?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. And that's why it was that Pundraka tried to imitate Krishna and say, I'm you, I'm Krishna, and he put on four arms, and then Krishna saw him, he laughed. So what's the balance between material education and spiritual dedication? Well, it's up to the individual. It also, if we relate this to the ashramas, then if you're a vanaprastha, sannyasi, or brahmachari, no, it's all spiritual. But if you're grihastha, then you're obligated to do something. So we have the occupations according to varna, sudra, vaishya, kshatriya, or brahmana. So we have different occupations, and the grihastha supports himself with those particular occupations. Now, unfortunately, in the modern world, we don't have any. Usually, it was the family would train up the child. So, if you were a potter, child was trained up by the father to make pots or baskets or whatever. And if you're a kshatriya, then you get trained up by the family to be a kshatriya, whatever, like that. So the family was basically responsible for your training, and they usually had facilities of some sort. Modern world, not like that. The families really don't have, or some families in India are like that, like the jewelers, and the children become jewelers also, and they train them up, you know, to figure out how to do it. And Vaishyas in general, probably the families are still, the traditional families are there in India at least, and they usually, or often they will take up the same occupation according to their parents. Even if they get Western education, eventually they come back and they forget about that, and they go back to the family business again. So in some cases it's like that, but some cases not like that, especially in Western world. So what to do? Somehow you have to support your family. So you can just get a labor job and, you know, dig ditches or lay bricks or whatever like that. Some people do that. Otherwise, if you want to get a little less labor job, then you're going to have to get a higher education. So then you have to go to school and get educated that way. So you have to sacrifice some of your time for that. So according to, you know, what path you're choosing, whether it's a renounced path or a household path, then you have to dedicate your time differently, and so, and you have to get educated differently accordingly. Okay, fine. Hare Krishna.